Great part, right? You're all going to know about Peter when we're done, and somebody's going to say, who's Peter? His name is Simon. He's a fisherman from Capernaum, right? You're going to know all this stuff. It's going to be great. Like, how did this get drilled into me for weeks and weeks and weeks, okay? He denied Christ, and then Jesus, in an incredible act, makes him the leader of the early church, and he dies in Rome as a martyr. Last week, this whole idea that following Jesus is the answer for our fear and what will challenge an unbelieving world, that we don't have to live that way. But when we live out of hope, it actually attracts people to say, wow, how do you live that way in the midst of everything going on? Because I don't know if you've checked recently, there's an awful lot of fear around us. There's very little hope at times around us. So it's so important that we live out of that hope that Jesus has given to us. I can't believe how many times over the past few weeks I have heard this phrase. I'm tired. I'm tired. Tired. There's actually something now called COVID fatigue, okay? Because people are just, they've had it. I'm sick of it. I don't want to mention it again. I don't want to talk about it again. I'm so sick of it. I'm tired. We're tired of what is going on. Sometimes we're tired because of our work. Our work has changed, our work has increased, and we're just tired. We are tired of dealing with different things. We're tired of people changing the rules all the time. Those of you with school-age kids, that happened this week in Indianola, with a change that's going to take place, and you're like, oh, something else got changed. I'm tired. I have heard this phrase over and over again, and I will be honest, I have said it myself. I am tired. I'm tired of technology not working, it not coming together, not doing what we want it to do. There's just a sense of fatigue that goes on in our lives. And that's just not just, you know, physical rest. It's not like just, can I shut the world out and go to sleep for a week and everything would be better. It's emotional fatigue. It's mental. It's in a lot of different areas in our life. And you all know this, but this is just really true, that we should never underestimate the collateral damage of fatigue. It plays havoc on us. And maybe we've just said, oh, yeah, I'm tired, it's no big deal. No, it really is. Because the collateral damage of fatigue can be huge. People in marriages, they could blow up a marriage over being tired, whether emotionally, physically, mentally, all those different areas. You could blow up a marriage over this. You could blow up about any relationship over just being tired. There's a great collateral damage that takes place when we're fatigued. And what I want you to know is Peter's writing to people who are tired. But let me tell you what they're tired of. They're living in a world where nobody seems to be following the Jesus way but them. Everybody's like doing their own thing. There's all crazy things going on around them, and nobody seems to be following Jesus but them. Now, top it with something. They're suffering for that. You know, they're doing what's right. They're following Jesus. And on top of that, they're being persecuted for following Jesus. And they're like, wait a minute. We're doing the right thing. We're going in the right direction. We're following Jesus. Why is all this going on? So Peter's writing to people who are fatigued because of the circumstance they find themselves in. And maybe some of them wondered, maybe I should just quit this whole thing. Why am I doing this anyway? They were tired. They were fatigued because they were suffering for Christ. And they thought, does this really have any value whatsoever? They didn't know. And they were wondering. That's the first passage we're going to read today. Next week, I think he really wants to lean in and said, now let me give you kind of this vision of what to look for in your life and what should happen and what you should be all about. That's next week. Today, I think he wants to lean into this and just remind them of some truths, even though they're really fatigued and even though they're wondering, why am I doing this and why am I suffering for doing what is right? So he just wrote to fatigued believers who needed hope. And you might be sitting there today and you might be in the same place, that you are a fatigued believer who just needs some hope and needs to be reminded of some truths that we all have a tendency to forget We just forget. I doubt we're going to talk about anything today that most of you have been following Jesus for 5, 10 years. You don't already know this stuff. It's that we just need reminding because we forget. And our world just presses in on us, and we just tend to forget these things. So, 1 Peter 4, beginning in verse number 1. So since Christ suffered in the flesh, right? He always brings them back to that. Hey, Jesus went through this. Jesus suffered. Jesus went through this. You also arm yourself with the same attitude. Now, he's going to talk about an attitude that he wants them to arm themselves with, the same attitude, he would say, that Jesus exhibited. So he's just pulling them back, saying, I want you to follow Jesus, follow Jesus. I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. I know you're tired of all this stuff, but I want you to follow Jesus, and I'm just going to call you into doing that. So here he goes. Because the one who has suffered in the flesh has finished with sin. One of the statements on the cross is what? It is finished. Sin's payment has been paid in full. We owe it nothing. In Jesus, we are totally set free. We need to be reminded of that. He said, okay, so he suffered in the flesh, has finished with sin, and that he spends the rest of his time on earth concerned about the will of God and not human desires. He says, do you understand how Jesus lived his life? He lived his life concerned about the will of God. I know you're tired. I know it's been a lot that you're suffering, but you are following Jesus. So this means the course of our life is now about following the will of God and not human desires. We have to go around following every whim that we have, every desire that we have, every urge that we have. We don't have to do that. We get to live our life following the will of God and being concerned about the will of God. In other words, what does God want in this situation? Because he's trying to get them out of just being stuck in, oh, this is terrible, I don't know what to do. They're doing whatever they want, and I don't know how to handle this situation. He says, but you understand, in following Jesus, you are done with just following human desires, and you've chose to spend your time on earth concerned about the will of God and doing what God wants done in certain situations. That's what you've been called to. That's what you've been pushed to. That's what God wants for you. Continues. For the time that has passed was sufficient for you to do the things what the non-Christians desire. Some of your translations use the word Gentiles, but the word is just broad. He's just talking about people who are not following Jesus. He says, remember, you lived that way before, okay? That time is past. That was your previous life. Remember, you're a new creation in Christ. That's the way you used to live. You don't have to do those things anymore. Time has passed, and it was enough time. I know you think of something, and he's going to really lean into something that I think is important for us to remember here in just a bit. But this idea of you've been there, you've done that. You don't need to go back to that. You've been there, done that. Don't go back to that life. That life is not fulfilling. That life offers nothing. That life is actually empty. Don't go back to that. The time's passed. You've had that time. You've done those things. You lived then. And he kind of gives this list because he's looking at them and said, these are the things you used to do. These are the things you don't want to continue to do. This is the way you used to live. This is not the way you want to live now. This is what you used to do, but this is not what you want to do now. You then lived in debauchery, evil desires, drunkenness, carousing, drinking bouts, and wanton idolatries. That's the way you used to live. And there's this kind of this pull that he is sensing with them to just quit following Jesus and just go do what everybody else is doing because it's just better. Right? It's just easier. If we're going to suffer anyway, might as well have some fun while we're suffering. That's where they're stuck. That's where they are stuck. So they are astonished. He's talking about now these people around you who he's going to tell them what they're doing to them. He says, so they are astonished when you do not rush with them into the same flood of wickedness and they vilify you. Right? That's what you're going through, he says. They're vilifying you because you won't do the things that they are doing. because you won't go back to that lifestyle, and you won't go back to doing those things. Yeah, maybe you were their drinking buddy once upon a time, but you're not that anymore. And you don't need to go back to that. And you don't need to go back to that life. You don't need to go back to that same flood of wickedness. You don't need to do that. Yeah, I know, they're vilifying you. Because they actually probably envy the life that you have. They, because he's got to remind them of this. Yeah, but they're doing whatever they want and they're getting away with it, right? They will face a reckoning before Jesus Christ, who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. He says, do you understand? They will answer someday for it. I know you would like justice right now. You would like things to happen now. They were suffering for doing the right things, following Jesus, doing what they should do, not doing things that were wrong. They stayed away from those things. And they just looked and said, yeah, but look at them. They do whatever they want. Jesus, their Instagram account looks awesome. Looks like they're having a blast. They're having an awesome time. Their highlight reel is amazing. There's this desire, I think, that Peter is sensing, that they're just wanting to go back to the way that they lived. So he says, now it was for this very purpose that the gospel is preached to those who are now dead. He says, you all know people. You all know people who came and followed Jesus. And now they are no longer on this earth. But that's why we preach to them. Because life is short. And you only have so many days. And you have no idea how many of those are. And you live for eternity. So that though they were judged in the flesh by human standards, they may live spiritually by God's standards. This is what I ultimately think he's trying to get to here. That you are not missing out following Jesus. You are not missing out following Jesus. When you go back to Genesis and you just kind of read that account again, because it just reminds you that the first lie is like many other lies that we face in our life. The lie that Satan used to deceive Eve is the same lie we all face. This is one of the facets of that lie that Satan used with Eve. Eve, Eve, you are missing out. God is holding back from you. You're missing out. And if you would just take that and you would eat it, you would realize the real life that you should be having. And somehow, some way, amongst other lies, he convinced her that she was missing out. She was missing something. And that God purposely kind of kept her away from that. And so she said, what? Not anymore. Take, eat. Adam, here you go. Okay, we're doing this together. And there they went. Because she assumed she was missing out. And that's what I think happens to too many people. They assume they are missing out following Jesus. Yeah, but my friends on Instagram, it looks like they're having a blast and doing all this stuff. You are not missing out following Jesus. You are not. I think it might be the biggest trap we have when we're trying to help our teenagers, our high schoolers, our college-age kids, because they just assume they're missing out. Yeah, but if I want to do what Jesus tells me to do, and I want to live that life, and I want to follow that way, I am going to miss out. No, that's a lie from somebody else. Okay? That's a lie from somebody else. And that lie's been around since the beginning. That you are somehow going to miss out. And Jesus would say, you're not missing out on anything. You are not missing out on anything. So I want to remind us of that today. You are not missing out following Jesus. You're not. I don't care what anybody else is doing. Okay? And if we're honest, that's what's been so hard. The attraction of people's highlight reels that they show to us on social media that convinces us, wow, well, they seem to be having a great life. I'm going through all this stuff, and I'm following Jesus. I'm trying to do the right thing. Maybe I'll just quit and just do that stuff. You are not missing out following Jesus. You are not missing out following Jesus. You are not missing out following Jesus. And we probably just needed that reminder today because we're constantly get told that. and you watch people who you thought were solid in their faith, and they start searching. Okay, that's a bad thing. You start following Jesus and all of a sudden you start searching. Quite often, it is because you are believing the lie you're missing out. And people start searching. And that searching normally leaves them somewhere far away from Christ. And you're like, what happened to them? Oh, they got this searching. They had this lie. This lie that got planted in them was, you are missing out. You don't have it all. And if you would just leave this following Jesus, and if you just come over here and do this other stuff and keep searching, you'll find something else that'll be far better. And that's the lie. And that's the lie. And that lie has been really magnified during the last 7-8 months. And part of the reason it's been so magnified is because we've been so distanced from people who would probably help us to push away the lie and walk in the right direction. And it's just hard to watch people continuing to search and searching their way right out of following Jesus, right out of being a Christ follower, back into something else and missing what God has for them. It's probably one of the hardest places to be because that lie is so prevalent. It's so out there. It's so pervasive in our culture and especially during this time that somehow I'm missing out. So I'm going to keep searching and that searching is going to lead me right away from Jesus if I'm not careful. And part of the problem is that the main way, I've told you this before, the main way, and this is why we're doing these Bible readings, by the way, every week. And if you don't like the ones I pick, pick another one and do it with other people. The incarnate word, that is Jesus. That is John 1. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Left for us his revealed word. This is how he speaks to us. So when things lead us away from this, when we don't take what is being presented to us through this, we end up going in directions away from Christ every single time. And most of the time, especially in our culture now, it's if my experience doesn't match this, what am I going to do? I would urge you to go with this. And leave whatever is enticing you to walk away. But too often we don't. And too often we just let this lead us and drift us away. And all of a sudden we end up in places we probably had no idea we were going to end up. Because we just forgot this is what grounds us. And this is what gives us truth. And this is what helps us to follow Jesus. And we have questions, we go to this. And when I don't know what to do, I go to this. But if this is not in your daily life, then there's probably other things telling you to go in other directions and do other things. You are not missing out following Jesus. You are not. And wherever the enemy has kind of planted that lie in your life, today's the day just to reject it. It's not truth. He has nothing to offer you. Jesus has everything to offer us. Remember, we submit to Christ now. This is the ultimate teaching of Scripture. We submit to Christ now, or we will submit in the end. And submitting in the end is not a good place to be, because that means you've lived your life rejecting him, doing your own thing, and then as Philippians says, what? Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it reminds us, so what are you going to do? You submit now and follow Jesus, or are you going to submit in the end when everything ends and it's, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? So, here's what I want to leave us this morning. That following Jesus is an invitation to stop searching and to start thriving. It is an invitation that I can stop my searching. I can stop looking. I can stop trying to figure out a better way. I can stop listening to the lie that I am missing out. I can stop all of that. And I can start the life that Jesus talks about in John 10:10. That if you would simply follow me, the thief He wants to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he loves to do. Okay? It's what he loves to do. And so he loves to lead us away in these attempts of searching to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't have anything good to offer you. He has nothing. He only wants to take away. So he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus goes, that's not why I came. I came that you would have life and have it abundantly. That's his invitation to us. That's where he says, I am the good shepherd. And I am inviting you to follow me into a much better life. So where in your life, here's my question for you this morning. Where in your life are you doing this searching? Oh, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more. There are entire books written because somebody wanted something more and shoved Jesus aside and kept looking. There's lots of that out there. You don't need that. That is not for your health. That is not for your thriving. That is not for your goodness. That is the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And you don't need to do that. Stop searching. Start thriving. Plant yourself fully in following Jesus and experience this life and this life that is abundance. So I want to pray for us because I think there's just lots of lies that we just encounter, and they can entrap us so easily, and they can just mess with our lives. Those seek only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes that we might have life and have it abundantly. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I imagine in this room and those listening, there's a lot of people who are searching because that's what we end up doing. We somehow end up searching. And it is just the trick from our enemy who is recycling lies from the garden to pull us away from you. He has nothing new. He only has old ways and old things. And that is why we rarely progress when we stop following you. We always regress. Our cultures always regress to things that have happened before. And we live in same patterns of brokenness and stealing, killing, and destroying. That's where culture goes every single time, Father, when they walk away from you. Because we just recycle the old lies of the enemy. It's all he has. He has nothing new. He has nothing for our thriving. He has nothing for our good. But it sounds good. And we have friends who are enticing us by their Instagram feeds that their life looks way better than ours. Maybe we should just do those things. No. We are missing out on nothing following you. Nothing that is for our good and our thriving. Would you reveal to us the way in which the enemy is lying to us, that we may push aside that lie? May we not be like Eve and go for it, thinking that you, our good, good Father, is holding out on us. May we push it aside and get back to following you into a life that is for our good and a life that is abundant. Help us to do that. Would you open our eyes to the lies that are being spoke into our lives, that we might say no and we might get back to following you, that we might get in your word and find what you have to say, and we might follow you with all our lives. May we be all in on following you and doing what you have called us to do. And as we stand and sing this morning, this reminder that I am no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. As a child of God, we do not have to listen to the lies of the enemy, but that Satan will flee if we tell him to. May we do that as we worship you and sing. And may would you again, Father, remind us we are not missing out following you. Push your word deep into our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.